Welcome to Joy Goggles, a show where we discuss real issues from the perspective of our real God, hosted by sisters Anjali Flake and Jewel Ford. In today's episode, we discuss renting versus homeownership. Let's get it. Welcome to Joy Goggles!
Joy Goggles!
Episode number 6.
Can you believe it's episode number 6?
I actually cannot.
What? We're on our way to the double digits, yo!
Yo, I feel like when we get to double digits, we should have some sort of anniversary.
What is that comprised of? Do we get a treat?
We get ice cream, I think.
My favorite. I think. What type of, we gotta plot it. What type of ice cream? You're not just talking about like ice cream that's in the freezer ice cream. You mean like we get to go?
No. Celebrate. Like we gotta go to like a creamery.
Oh.
Wait, is that a creamery?
Yeah, let's call it that. A creamery.
Yeah. I feel like we should get custard.
Okay. Okay. Or gelato.
I would like some funfetti cake.
Wait, I thought we were talking about ice cream.
Cake and ice cream.
Okay. Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool if they had a cake and ice cream shop? I've never seen a cake and ice cream shop. But I've
Why isn't that a thing? An
ice cream cake or a cake flavored ice cream.
Since we're randomly on the topic of baking.
Okay.
You guys, listeners, I was like, Anjali, I feel like we're missing out on opportunity for a brownie shop. Like, they've got cookie shops, they've got other bakeries, but there's not like a brownie only shop. And
will
Anjali shut me down
in
and was like, no, nobody is going to want just a brownie.
Well, that
and
needs
I was
to
like,
be a
what?
Listener poll because I don't think that a brownie shop would do well.
Oh my, I think if a cookie shop will do well, a brownie shop will.
I don't think a brownie, well, maybe because I don't really care for chocolate.
Oh my gosh, but
really
that's the beauty is that there's going to be a variety of brownies.
Yeah.
It's just not going to be
but
your
I'm
basic
really
brownie.
I'm not really a brownie fan. Like, it's different if somebody brings brownies to the potluck. Mm. I will gladly go break me off a piece. And if it's good, I'll have a whole piece. I think maybe it's related to the time that I ate the wrong type of brownie. And then I ended up with a special high for the rest of the day.
Okay. Well... That will do
somebody
it.
Somebody slipped Anjali a special brownie.
That was the wrong person to slip it to.
Yeah.
Because
I didn't
Anjali
need any
does
assistance.
Not do well with like NyQuil, let alone. I am telling a whole truth. You barely can take Tylenol.
Well, you know, it was a really wonderful experience, I have to admit. Like, the way I felt, I could understand the hype, but it was still too much for me. I was ready to come down off that ride.
It's too much.
It's too much.
It's too much.
Especially that one I felt like was highly concentrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so about your brownie shop.
Oh, yes, about my brownie shop, which would not have that in the brownies.
Unless we were in Colorado or Oregon.
Man.
Yeah. That would really sell.
It would sell. Yeah. See, I just want someone to recognize that a brownie shop is potentially
profitable. No, but I only acknowledge that it will only sell if it had.
Oh. Well,
I need other people to speak to this because really I'm not a brownie fan at all. But if you are a brownie fan or if you're a chocolate fan, you should let us know about it. Go to Instagram or to Facebook. Do a search Joy Goggles podcast. Let us know. We would love to hear you. I think we'll even put a poll in our story.
A poll is coming. Yes. I want to know. Am I on to something? Brownie shop. I would love it.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see.
I can't imagine like trying to own a business with like property.
What?
Like a brownie shop, like a store. Like the entrepreneur stuff we do. Yeah. We're doing it out of our house, but like, actually having a store.
Yeah. Well, having property is a whole other ball game. I was a part of a business course, and when I did my final capstone, and I talked about my business plan and the things that I wanted to do and kind of the future goals as I scale my business, one of the things that I talked about was having my own event center. Mm. And it's actually a dream that I still have. I want to have an event center that's set up to go for parties, wedding, receptions, anything of the like. But then I've always wanted a retreat center.
Yeah.
This place that has lodging, it has meeting rooms for people who want to come and get away or use the space for their own conferences or retreats.
Yeah.
And the people who were the judges on this panel, they're like, don't own property.
Did they really tell you that?
I was shocked. They said everything about your presentation was spot on, wonderful, brava. But if I can give you any professional advice, they've been in their fields, respective fields, for decades. They said, don't own property. I thought that was
actually takes, I'm really surprised by that. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Well, a lot of it was just the cost of overhead. And they mm-hmm. said, unless you are yielding, you know, substantial profit, then it's something that it takes on a lot more liability than to just either work with someone who has a space, like partner with them, versus saying like, no, I'm the sole owner and proprietor of right. this particular space.
So they would look differently on like shared property. So this is what I was reading. It's funny. So I was reading this article about this group of men. It was five men. And they were like family and friends, and they saved $50 every week for 2 years and just purchased their first investment property together.
Wow.
Which I thought was so smart. Like
friendship goals.
Right, number one.
I think the goals. Only thing we share is like a plate of nachos.
Shut up.
Yes.
We don't share anything else.
No, we share a bunch of other things.
Oh my gosh.
But you know
a
what
plate
I mean?
Of nachos.
Like, what do we invest in? Other than rent, do you know what I mean?
And that's not even ours,
right?
You know, like it. This is just so wise to me, mm-hmm. you know. So they all chipped in together, and now they have investment property.
Yeah.
Like, so actually, for what you want, that would be brilliant. I think, right? Like, mm-hmm. if a few of us chipped in and actually bought like an event property, like I know I would certainly use it.
Yeah.
For event space, mm-hmm. and
especially if you get a property that you can convert into office and event space.
Yeah.
That is what's ideal, because not only are you creating a space where you can co-collaborate or just have space to work with your clients or work on whatever your product or service is.
Yeah.
But you also are creating something that can generate income and
yeah.
revenue. And I think that's, to me, what's so brilliant here. Not to just say, hey, let's put our money together and put it in a stock. Because they could have done that as well. Put it in a stock.
Yeah.
Put it in some other form of investment. But they're trying to think about what is something that we can work together. And I'm assuming if this goes really well for them,
yeah.
it's just going to be one of many.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And whenever I've talked to people, I mean, we could have an entire podcast series on finances, which we might look into in the future.
Oh, do we have to?
Yeah,
Jesus,
we have
fix
to.
It.
We have to. But there are so many things that we don't know
yeah.
in the finance realm.
It's real.
And a lot of us only know what our parents taught us. And if our parents weren't in the real estate industry, if our parents only rented all of their lives, if I can be honest, I grew up on housing assistance most of my life. And mm-hmm. there's no disrespect to anybody who grew up that way or currently living in that capacity. It's just you don't have the same mindset as mm-hmm. some other people, unless people are intentionally engrossing themselves in those situations where they're hearing more about it and learning about the options available.
You really do learn a lot by what you're used to seeing.
Yes.
And if no one is talking about the other options, even mm-hmm. if you are used to a particular pattern, then things like this are really foreign.
Absolutely.
And they're not teaching it in school. We don't learn real estate and finances and all this in school. So like you, once you're thrown out into the real world, 18, hello, then you're just kind of on your own to mm-hmm. learn a lot of this stuff, unless you have, you know, that background, that
yeah.
family members that could help you assist that, you know?
Or you're really intentional about seeking out the knowledge.
You have to be.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to be. Like, even, so, like, my parents owned their house We didn't rent, but it was still never like a conversation. Mm-hmm. What I did know was that my dad, after he graduated college, he moved in with his mom and was very intentional about saving. I actually wish I would have learned more about that from him, like thought to like probe like how he did that.
Yes.
Was very intentional about saving because he knew that he wanted to buy a house. Like it was almost like a next step for him, and mm-hmm. I never saw that for myself, mm-hmm. which is really interesting. I don't know why I didn't. I never thought about real estate and property.
Yeah.
But yeah, and $50,000 is what he bought his house for that I grew up in. Wow. Can you imagine? $50,000.
Wait, now did he pay that or he just put down the down payment in order to pay toward the $50,000?
I think the house total was $50,000.
And that's how much he paid? He saved up $50,000?
He might have saved up the down payment.
Okay.
Yeah. Got yeah. it. Wow. But still, like, oh my gosh. I can't even imagine getting a $50,000 house now. Mm-mm. That doesn't even make any sense.
No, not at all. And to be honest, I didn't realize how much a down payment was. Nobody ever talks about that.
Yeah.
It's not until you actively do the research to what it takes to become a homeowner, unless you're getting some type of stipend, voucher, or grant in order to be like the first-time home
yeah.
buyers, you know,
yeah,
different
they have
programs,
lots of programs
that they have. Yeah. But no one talks about that. They just say, oh, I bought my first home. Congratulations. But what were the 30,000 other steps
gosh.
you needed to get there?
Yeah.
And Joel and I have been privileged in the past probably like 4 or 5 years that a lot of our friends have gone through that process. And as we slowly start to unravel the layers that are involved within home ownership, we quickly say, no, we're good with renting.
It's also so much, not only to the purchasing of the home, right? But then once you have the home, mm-hmm. I'm always so amazed at like what it takes to really upkeep property.
Yeah.
And, I've got to be the one to call the plumber.
Yeah.
And yeah. I have to pay for that. I have to
for
pay
sure.
for the bug man to come and yeah. investigate what's happening around here. Like, do you know, just, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
It just seems like such an expense. But at the same time, I do think I'm pro owning property. Wars have been made over property. We have to, like, property and land.
Yeah.
It's very important.
It is.
And to be able to own a piece and also to, like, have that, I think, for generations.
Yes.
And that generational wealth and something to pass down. I mean, I think it's an important thing.
It really is.
I just also don't want to be bothered with it.
Yeah. And I think now we even have more options when it comes to ownership, though, right? Because commercial, that's its own category. Just
yeah.
Just like what we were talking about, that you could own an event center, own your building that your business is in. But now there's the options of townhomes or condos or RV ownership or people who want to own the small, tiny homes.
Can you imagine like owning an RV?
I could now that I've seen one.
Right.
You have this idea of what mobile homes and RVs look like until you see the state of the art. They even some $1 million. Did you hear me, everyone?
Yeah.
$1 million
the
RVs and mobile homes.
I think you're probably thinking about because Anjali and I got to go inside of one. This was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I didn't know that they got that.
It
nice.
Was laid out and you push like, the bright buttons and it,
oh my God,
it expands. So you walk in and you're like, oh, this is really nice. But then you're given an extra like 10 feet.
It's ridiculous.
Because of the way that it expands. And
I was
we walked in.
This is nicer than my apartment.
Exactly. What? That's what I was like. And they had the state of the art equipment and appliances and for just two people, because this was a retired couple who had this RV and they travel across the country and they become snowbirds when the winter hits in Colorado and go down to Arizona all the time.
Huh.
But for just the two of them, it was a perfect amount of space. And in their living room, it felt like you were in anybody else's living room. The kitchen was like your standard size kitchen.
Yep.
And even the bedroom, even though you didn't have as much maybe walking space, when you think about it, if you're only in there resting or sleeping, then it's perfect. And then the bathroom is where they had their washer and dryer. I mean, it was...
The fact that they had a washer and dryer.
It was incredible.
What?
Yes. If I was in the position, that's why I was like, if I was in the position to do something like that, I would definitely consider it.
I don't know if you've seen like those like documentaries about like tiny homes or like places, like odd homes.
Yeah.
Like people are really trying to get around this like real estate thing and figure out like, how do I create a living space that's small, that's comfortable though still, and functional,
but also affordable. So and, I'm not tied into this 30-year loan.
Hey.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even with our friends who are in townhomes or in condos, that was something that was just a bit mind-blowing to me, because with those, you're still connected to other people. So whether you own a duplex or you own a townhome or a condo, you are living in what feels like an apartment. Mm-hmm. Even though you have your own space.
Yeah, it's, I don't know too much about that. Yeah. I feel like I would want to research that more. Yeah. Like, I wonder what the benefits are.
Well, a lot of it is cost. Like, my one of my friends that I'm thinking of, she owns a condo in Arlington, but when she bought it, it was only about $50,000 or $60,000.
Yeah,
so okay. To say that you own this... And at any time, you can then sell it. And
that.
It's building equity, right?
That.
And then I think when she got into it, like, the interest rate were lower. But it, for her, it just made so much sense during that time of her life. And I just wouldn't have even thought that way. Because you always think home ownership, that's the 3, 4, 5 bedroom home, probably has a backyard, right? Because a lot of these, you're, especially if you live in the big city, you're losing out on land
and that's true,
your own privacy. And that's why I my boyfriend's parents live in East Texas and they have acres and that's the way they like it. They
want to have whole another story
that
though,
is
like
that is
what can you imagine having an acre of anything?
No
let alone a cow.
Cows, and then you have to consider all of the other things that come with home ownership. I don't want my neighbors within, you know, yelling distance necessarily. Like, if I'm having a passionate argument with my husband, I don't need my neighbors to know that. But I also want to know that neighbors are around in case of emergency.
In case you're being murdered.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, okay.
So this actually makes me thinking of like homeowner and the things that you're responsible for. When we were actually at the farm and we were house sitting, and all of a sudden Anjali and I, it's like dark, and there's, because it's acres of land, right? It's not like there's a neighbor close by.
No.
And all of a sudden we hear like these noises and we're like, what is that? And it's like coming from the wall. It's coming from the wall in the bathroom. And the dog is like outside of the bathroom. He is on high alert. And I'm like, what's inside the bathroom?
This is the makings of a scary movie right here, y'all.
It really is. And we continue to hear. And we're like, oh my gosh, something is in the house.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like it's either in behind the laundry room doors or behind a wall.
These sounds, y'all, these sounds.
I thought I was dying. And I was like, this is the only bathroom in the house.
Yeah.
I have to use the bathroom at some point. And I am terrified to walk in there. Lord, today, we called the owners of the house. And she's like, oh, that's probably, you know, just a squirrel raccoon that just got caught in the wall. And I was like, what? I'm sorry, is that normal for you? Is that a thing? I can't.
Hashtag country living.
Nope.
That's why it's not for me.
I shall not. I can't do it. Can't do it.
No, I completely agree. Mm-mm. Everybody has a calling. And
that ain't it.
That certainly isn't mine.
Welcome back. So just continuing on this topic of housing and leasing and renting and all that fun stuff, Anjali and I just received our lease renewal offer from our apartment complex, and it made us question everything.
Everything.
And now we're like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And it's crazy because, like, in the past 4 years, we've only lived here, right? So we moved to Dallas 4 years ago, and we got this apartment, and we love this apartment. I love the location of our apartment. I love the space. I love the neighborhood of our apartment. Like, it's a great apartment.
Mm-hmm.
But rent keeps going up.
Yeah. Because we're in prime real estate. This area, as we've mentioned before, is being gentrified up the wazoo. And just in us being here for 4 years, we've seen drastic changes in the community. And so as they continue to increase our rent, we're forced to have those adult conversations.
Right.
About what does it really look like for us. And especially, it doesn't help that we look at ourselves at the age of 30 and we're like, this is not where we were supposed to be.
Man. You know?
And even when we first moved here, there were times I kicked myself because we had talked about co-owning a home.
Yeah.
And I think both of us also are clinging on to this idea of purchasing a home with our significant other, with our husband one day. And I know there are some people are like, no, you need to do what you need to do, girl. Don't wait on no man. Yeah. And while that is true also, I think there's just so many more decisions that you have to make. I was looking, as we were preparing for this episode, I was looking at just things you need to know or ask yourself before you go purchase a home. And one of the first thing is ask yourself why you're purchasing a home.
That's interesting. So what classifies as a good reason to purchase a home?
Well, they were, how about this? What classifies as a bad reason? Because there's so many good reasons, right? Is that you feel like you need to check it off your list. Or you feel like this is what you're supposed to do. So many people do that anyway. Oh my gosh.
I feel that way though. Yeah. But you know what? And you said it, like that 30 thing, you feel like, oh, that should be the next step.
Yes.
Like, especially, I think, especially being like single, I'm like, am I progressing in some way?
Yeah. Yeah.
But what does progress look like at 30? Well, if I'm not married, no, I have children, surely I should own a home.
Right. Right. And it's, unfortunately, with society and the pressures that naturally exist. Do you even think about the board game of life? It naturally took you through this progression. You either went to college or you got a job. Those are your only two options.
I really hated that
game. And then you have all of these obstacles or triumphs that happen throughout your so-called life. But even there, something that is even ingrained in a board game and infused, and as you're playing this, I'm sure millennials, as they're playing this game, it's unrealistic.
It is so unrealistic. It is true. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
It's so true. And I know for me, I have always just thought that I would purchase my home with my husband.
Yeah, I agree.
And as someone who is in a relationship, but there's no guarantee of anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know in my heart that this is someone who I would like to spend the rest of my life with.
Yeah.
But I was just having a conversation with one of my other friends that I also had to get this understanding and this paradigm of, regardless of what happened with him, that I wouldn't have any regrets. This is just me talking. Yeah. So let's just say if something unfortunate happened and he was no longer with us, right? And we never got married, I still would have no regrets. Mm-hmm. If he were to come home and say, you know what, this isn't working out, I still have no regrets. But that changes my life plan, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all of those things that you have to think about and to consider. And I think that's what the article was trying to get at, saying that there's no perfect scenario to say now's the time to purchase your home. We have these things of what it looks like, but it varies for every person.
Well, and we didn't even discuss like the financial implications, right? Like that's just the social and what we, for some reason, like project on ourselves socially. But I also thought that I would be in a different place financially at 30. Truth be told, right. like I just made that assumption.
Right.
And the fact that I'm not makes a really, really big difference. So
right.
that's just going to be how it is.
Yes.
Yes. You know, so I mean, you really do have to ebb and flow with your life circumstance and the places that life takes you. And I'm sure we can all think of the things that like blindsided us, and then all of a sudden we're like, oh, life is going to be a little bit different than I pre-plotted and planned.
Right.
And our ability to be able to ride that, and our ability to be secure in it and okay with it,
mm-hmm.
and trusting God throughout that is just so crucial, or else you're just going to drive yourself right. crazy.
This idea of this is not how it's supposed to be, but since it is, Lord, what are you going to do with
yeah. it? And it's so funny how we say that. It's not how it's supposed to be. And mm-hmm. God's like, I never said that.
Yeah.
No one ever told you that. You've been looking around and you're seeing these patterns. And I remember at one point in my life, I was looking around and I was like, I feel like every friend that I had, like in high school, every single one of them is in a different place than I am.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, that's not entirely true. You also see what you want to see,
mm-hmm.
right? Especially for the sake of a pity party.
Right.
You will see what you just want to see.
Right.
And you will not take into consideration anything that they might have went through.
Absolutely.
To get there.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, we're always, so good about that.
We're always quick to notice when other people are living out our prayer requests.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And so whatever that thing is that you've been praying for, you've been asking God for, and it hasn't manifested in your life yet, but it has in the lives of your followers
yeah.
or the people you follow, or your friends or your family, yeah. then that is something that the enemy uses to place this root of bitterness
yeah.
and jealousy and even frustration and anger at God. To say like, oh, well, you love them more, or maybe I did something wrong, or I'm not worthy enough to have what they have.
Right.
Which is all a trap.
Yeah. And you have no insight as to what they had to go through to get there. Like, mm-hmm. that is so crucial. I don't know the emotional wounds that maybe someone went through. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm also looking at, this sounds really bad, but hopefully you'll hear me. I'm also envying relationships that I don't even entirely know are healthy.
Yeah.
Like, that's also something really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if 5 years from now, that person's going to be like, Jewel, if I could give you a bit of advice, like, that was the wrong one.
Yeah.
I didn't know it. I know better now. Yeah. I've learned some stuff now, but I had to go through a lot of mess mm-hmm. to get this bit of wisdom that I'm trying to, you right. know.
Well, a lot of delayed promises is really God's protection.
Hey, you know, I praise God for them, because if I kind of look back at my life and some decisions that I was going to make.
Hey, won't he do it?
Hey.
What you can't see is she's slain in the spirit.
Lord, today, when I tell you he done saved me.
Amen. We all could think of something. We all could think of at least one thing we have been spared from. And even if we had to endure it, it was only for a season and not for a lifetime.
Hmm.
And for those who endured it for longer than what they wanted to, God is so faithful and rich in mercy that he turned it for their good.
Will you say that again?
I don't know what I just said.
For those who endured
yes,
longer than they wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah.
He uses that. That means something to me, because I think it is the length of time. It's not necessarily the struggle. That's hurtful for me.
Yeah.
Whatever the struggle is, the feeling like you're behind in your 30s, the cancer, the job losses, the whatever it is, bad relationships, y'all, whatever you've gone through. Sometimes I don't think it's necessarily the actual trial, but it's how long you have to sit in it.
Yeah.
That is the weighty part. That is the challenging part. Is how much longer, Lord?
Right.
I don't feel that strong to do it that much longer. Yeah. Okay. 6 months. Okay. A year.
But okay, a decade?
A year and a half. Right. But God, are you going to ask me to do this for
30 years?
5 years? 10 years?
40 years in the wilderness?
Oh! I don't.
Yeah. As you say that, I instantly think about our sisters and brothers in Christ in prison, incarcerated, or our sisters and brothers in Christ who are persecuted overseas, and these people who we have the luxury of forgetting about. We have the luxury of not thinking about it very often because of our own stuff that we have going on.
Gosh, that sounds so horrible, doesn't
it? I know. I know, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
The luxury of forgetting.
We do. We do. We do. Even as an American, we have a luxury of forgetting.
You're forgetting so much.
So much of the persecution or the famine that is all across this world.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had conversation with Chris, and one of the things that we say is one day closer. Mm-hmm. One day closer. One day closer to the manifestation of our prayers. One day closer to just being able to experience God in all of his glory when we see him in heaven. One day closer to him returning home. One day closer to the reality of all the things that we've talked about, right? And if there's anybody who's thinking about, like, when will this end, I think about anyone who has suffering of any type. Whether it's mental, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, when you suffer, when you feel the weight of whatever the thing is that you're carrying or that you're enduring, man, it is isolating at times.
Yeah.
Especially when you can't articulate.
Yeah.
Really what's going on.
Yeah.
Especially if it's not visible, right? It's different if there is something visibly wrong with you.
Right.
Or if somebody comes in the room and you see them with black eyes and a busted lip, right? And they're enduring domestic violence. You can tell, oh, she's really going through. But for someone, you have, there's so many people who we go to work with. There's so many people who are our neighbors. There are so many people in our families who go through hell and back, and we have no idea.
And have been seeped in hell.
Yeah.
Right? Like that idea of, like, I've been living this hell for years now.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And may we have eyes for them. May our discernment perk up.
Yeah.
So that they are seen and we see them. Because to sit in that kind of hurt for that long is just, it's too much. It's too much. And especially when I believe there's an answer.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's an answer.
And it's never was God's intention. Never.
Yeah.
And he truly grieves when he sees us go through this. But I think what makes him grieve even more, Jewel, this is my personal opinion, I believe more than he grieves at the fact that you go through cancer is that people have been sent with a message in their belly for you and they don't give it. Or when people have something to offer and they don't fulfill their purpose and calling, I believe that grieves him more.
Yeah.
Because he says that I love Jewel so much that I have the answer, I have the remedy, or I have something that would help you endure, but they aren't in position. And so it just makes me even think about my own self and what areas in my life am I not in position, right? And I even think about us being in this apartment complex and what ways. There, so I'm going to be honest, there is a person in our neighborhood I avoid at all costs because they just make me feel a certain way. Now, there's different if you truly feel unsafe, if your safety is questioned, that's something different. But if it's just like a preference, if you prefer not to be around that person, I wonder sometimes, is that the enemy trying to cause a distraction? Because really, there is something that you need
like
to
maybe
do.
Maybe you have something for this person.
Yeah. And that may not always be the case. But I'm just thinking of when God puts us places, whether it's in an apartment complex, if it's in a subdivision neighborhood, if you're on the HOA board in your community, however he has placed you, that there's a greater purpose of how he wants to use you. And so while you are where you are until you can get to where your heart desires to be, what are you doing to be in partnership with what God wants to do in the world and in the world around you?
You know, this is actually really interesting that the conversation went this direction because, so one of the things that Anjali and I are looking at are becoming like apartment life coordinators. And so basically what that means is there are a select amount of apartments that hire, basically, that hire people to basically build community and like Christian community, godly community, within apartment complexes, they find that people are more likely to stay in an apartment when they feel connected to the community. So whether that means that you're going by, you're making sure that people are doing well and you're making friends and talking to your neighbors, you're putting on small events and hosting them so that people get to know each other and things like that. So people feel supported where they live. Like, what a beautiful way, mm-hmm. right, to give God away.
Yes.
In community.
Yes. And it's like incognito ministry.
It is. It's like sneaky ministry.
It is. Because the partnership that the organization called Apartment Life, they're throughout the country. So no matter where you're listening in the States, you can see if this is something that will work out for you. They traditionally like to work with teams. So that's pairs, whether it's friends, siblings, cousins, roommates, or if it's couples, and they prefer married couples, just so it's in alignment with a biblical teaching. But it is pretty fascinating because they make partnerships with apartments just to say, what we do is to create community, mm-hmm. and we want to partner with you. And they let them know it's a Christian organization, but the main thing that they will offer is just the resources and the manpower of people who live on site. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the perks, is that if you are hired, you get to stay on site in a nice apartment, 2-bedroom apartment, for probably like 30% of the rent.
Yeah, a reduced rate.
Cost. And so one of the rates that were quoted to us was $500 for a 2-bedroom apartment in the city of Dallas.
We'll take it.
Mind blown.
That number does not exist.
Mind blown.
In the city of, you know what, nowadays in the city of anything, I'm sure.
Right. Especially a 2-bedroom. Yeah. So, but then you also get paid a minimum wage for the hours that you work. So it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. And like, especially if you're particularly like Anj, I would say like both of us, but really like Anj, like she's already a planner. She's already incredibly sociable.
Well, thank you.
I mean, really, what's to lose?
Yes, it's true. So yeah, be praying for us on this journey, just depending on where you're listening. We just don't know what this will look like, but we have a decision to make by the end of this month, because our particular complex gives you 60 days to let them know whether or not you are going to renew your lease. So our lease ends November 30th, and so we need to let them know by September 30th of 2019 whether or not we stay.
How do we convince Apartment Life maybe to be here?
Well, that is completely up to the owners of the property.
How cool would that be?
That would be.
Because then we don't move.
I know.
And no move. Y'all, that's another thing. Moving expenses. Okay, we have had friends that move like every year.
Every year.
Every year. I don't know how they do this.
I don't know how they did it. It takes me back to college. You guys remember college days where you move in at the beginning of the year and then you have to be moved out finals week of that spring semester?
No.
It was too much.
Too much. Too many boxes.
And then you have to do the little sheet where you have to say, what was damaged? Where were the scratches? That was like watching paint dry.
It
was
the worst. Horrible. I can't imagine doing it with this apartment. And what I'm talking about, we live in our apartment, y'all.
We live here.
Like,
we know we're not getting our deposit back. Especially because our beautiful puppy, who is now a handsome, well-behaved young man, but in his puppy years, he was not kind to the baseboards. And so we're going to have to pay for that.
He had a minor chewing problem.
But we love him. We love him so much.
We love him.
He's so sweet. August, you're so sweet.
We love our doodle bucket.
Yes. Okay, now he's giving us love because he thinks we're talking to him.
That's awkward.
When we're talking about him, you have to learn the difference.
Sorry, doodle. August.
Yeah, so sweet. No. But yeah, I'm not sure what we're going to do, so you'll get to hear about that as we make that decision. But we have an interview with this Apartment Life organization later on this week. So we shall see. But fun fact, this is our third attempt. Y'all, timing, we struggle. Timing is everything. It really is. Timing is everything. The first time that it happened, the timing didn't work out with the time that our lease was ended. The second time we tried it was right before Jewel received her second cancer diagnosis, and we just thought it wouldn't be a good time, especially because we weren't sure what her health would be like, and it's required that you work a certain amount. And then so this time we thought, hey, third time's a try. They know that we're interested. We're good people. But it's God's timing in everything.
It is. It's God's timing in everything. And if it's not the timing, he'll shut it down.
He will.
Or give us an inclination and like... That's fine.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Anjali, that actually reminds me of another article that you showed me where they were talking about it's actually better to rent right now than to buy in today's housing market. They were saying fast rising home prices and higher mortgage rates have made it cheaper to rent a home than to buy one. Renting and reinvesting the savings from renting on average will outperform owning and building home equity in terms of wealth creation.
Yeah.
I mean, so key word though, being reinvesting money.
I don't think I noticed that the first time that we read it, but reinvesting, let's be honest, how many people, whether they're renting or they got a really good rate on their mortgage, how many people are reinvesting the difference between what they saved in some capacity?
Yeah.
Wow. But that is the key point at the very end, was this is for wealth creation.
Yeah. Yeah. For and that wealth, that generational wealth too, like something we don't really think about and we don't really focus on, but it's so important, you know. Or
just a wealth mindset versus a poverty mindset in general.
Yeah.
I think most people are always focused in the right now. They can only see with their current circumstances. They can only see the debt that they have. They only can see the bills that they may not have enough money or income in order to pay these bills as
well. It's hard to talk about investment with someone and how much you're saving and putting away if they can't pay their basic bills. Absolutely. I mean, it's a hard conversation, but we've got to find a way to be able to have those conversations even in the midst of like the struggle.
Absolutely.
To be able to break the cycle.
Absolutely. And that's something that's so important to me even now. And I know that my current circumstance could look bleak and I could be so focused in what's not occurring. But one thing that I continually speak is financial freedom and building this idea of generational wealth.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
That not only will I be taken care of and my needs will be met, but that I will be able to not only pass on money or assets, but to implement and to build this mentality in my children early on. And there are so many ideas that I've read over the years and so many things that I've heard other people do, from doing investments on the kids starting when they were, you know, an infant. Like I think of DJ Khaled, he makes his son an executive producer over everything that he does.
It's brilliant.
So that his son is getting a check.
It's brilliant. As well. It's brilliant. Like, you know, he's setting his son up and teaching him, you know, financial literacy at a young age. Mm-hmm. Because that's not something we're learning in schools. Financial literacy is convoluted. It's not being taught. Mm-hmm. So if you're not doing it at home, parents, your kid is out there very confused.
Yes.
Something to think about.
And whether they are eight, not understanding why they have to pay tax on, you know, their toy that they get, or they are 28 and confused about budgets.
Also, or also that same tax.
It's true.
Either way. So.
It's true.
Talk to y'all's kids.
It's true. But you know, what I love is that there really is no excuse anymore. I think our parents could say that, you know, really is hard if I don't have access to this information, or I don't have all the resources available, or I don't have the time or money to go to college. Mm-hmm. Between YouTube, books, And even apps now. There's an app that Jewel and I both use right now called Acorn.
I love it. Because it, like, allows you to make investments. It, like, I'll randomly see $7 was pulled out of your account via Acorn, right? And it's in, like, investing my money. And it's small enough amounts to where I'm not like, oh, no, where'd my money go, you know? Mm-hmm. Which, I don't know. There's probably a life lesson in that right there. Maybe we make it too hard in our head. If we could just learn to, like, set aside really small amounts and then grow as we grow,
you know? Or larger. Like,
that's better than nothing.
Or larger amounts, but then discipline ourselves to be able to manage our finances well.
I don't need that Starbucks. I'm gonna invest it.
Everybody always goes to Starbucks. Don't be blaming Starbucks. I'm not a coffee drinker, but everybody always says, you don't need that Starbucks. They're like, let's be honest. You don't need that Uber Eats. You don't need your nails done every week.
She hitting the good stuff. You don't need that popcorn at the movie theater.
Wait, now you're getting personal. Okay,
my bad.
Now you're getting personal.
My bad. Y'all, the look she just gave me, it was much.
You could bring in, Lord, bring in, now you're playing dirty.
Okay, my bad. Well, Anjali, I feel like that probably brings us to our challenge.
Yes.
We should probably challenge our listeners to also download Acorn.
Yes, I highly recommend that you look into Acorn. It's a free app, but it's something that as soon as you get started, the more grateful you'll be.
Yeah.
Because if you think about all the times that you could have been saving money, it reminds me of a Christmas club I used to be a part of.
Ooh.
And it's one of those things of when that check came in November for me to go and have fun shopping, I was so grateful that I did it, but it took me forever to start. And that's one of those things of, man, if I would have started sooner, I have even more money. Mm. But this week, we want to challenge you to know your numbers. Wherever you are in the journey, just trust God. Trust Him. Trust His timing. Trust the process. And, you know, just make your desires known to Him. How many times are you actually writing down or speaking out into existence the things that you truly want? Whether it is to own a home, whether it is to have your own business and have your own a building of some type. And if you're an apartment dweller, but you want to buy your own home, do your research and then do what you need to do to save up for that 5-figure down payment. That's what they're suggesting, y'all. 5 figures. That's like 10,000 and up is what they're recommending unless you qualify for some type of program as a first time home buyer. And if you're a homeowner, consider ways that you could pay off your home in less time, so that you have money to sow in the lives of others. God wants us to be debt-free. He wants us to be without obligation to other people so that He can freely use us in every capacity that He can, including our finances. So that's my challenge to not only you, but to myself. Because everything that I say, I first have to take it myself as well. So,
well, with that, I'm going to go ahead and pray us out. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all of our listeners, oh God. I pray blessings over their lives. I pray that you touch their finances. I pray that you touch their homes, whether they're renting or purchasing or leasing, oh Father God. And I pray that you begin to sow seeds into their life that they may be able to invest, oh Jesus. I pray that you speak to their very heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Congratulations, you survived another episode of Joy Goggles with your favorite sisters, Jewel and Anjali. We're always so delighted that you choose to spend even a portion of your day with us. If there was something that inspired you or made you laugh, share it with someone else. Follow us on social media to continue the conversation. Our Instagram handle is Joy Goggle Podcast. And until next time, find a way to spread joy. Be blessed.